Now, I was looking at a tiny baby the other day and getting all misty-eyed about that lovely time when they're new and it's all cuddles and sniffing their little heads. But then I remembered the really terrible times too, when they wouldn't feed or they cried all night or they got that weird rash. Having a new baby is meant to be one of the most joyful times of your life, isn't it? But clearly it is a mixed blessing at some times for many new mums. They might feel sad or anxious or even develop some real rage. What helped you get through the first 12 months of parenthood? Give us your tips on our Facebook page. Or you can send us a text, 0418 226 576. Sally Shepherd went through the highs and the lows. Welcome to Life Matters, Sally.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure. What were those first few months like for you, though?
Oh, a bit of a blur, really. I think there's so many challenges that new mums go through that we don't talk about very often. So for me, it was a bit of a shock.
And you write on your blog that you felt like you had more extensive training for your first job in a takeaway shop than for parenting. Can you tell
us
about some of the times that you came face to face with that feeling of just not knowing what to do?
Yeah, I think the very first time I had that feeling probably was going home from the hospital and thinking, like, what, is this it? It's all on me from now on. I haven't had any, training. I haven't done any pop quiz. I haven't had an exam, and they're just going to let me go with this tiny human being. But then just, I guess, coming across some of the common challenges that new mums will face, like with learning how to breastfeed and learning how to settle bub to sleep and how many times they wake, and coming across some of the identity shift moments and the hormonal fluctuations and some of the emotional changes that people go through, I guess I sort of continually had that thought, like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Oh, that's new. That's different.
Well, you've written a book called Beyond the Bump, and mm-hmm. there's lots of moments in there where you write about those emotional shifts and changes. And at times you also felt some real anger, Sally. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think anger in new parenthood is pretty common. It's something that I didn't expect to face but did. And then after talking to lots and lots of mums about it and researching it as well, I found out that it is common. It's a common symptom of both anxiety and depression, which can happen in the postpartum period and through pregnancy as well. But it's also just part and parcel of the lifestyle of being a new mum. Sometimes the combination of sleep deprivation and hormonal fluctuations and all of that kind of stuff that we do deal with, people just tend to, it can be sort of a spectrum from irritability and or snappiness to up to full on kind of rage moments where you don't feel fully in control of your anger. And it's something that out of guilt or shame or even fear of things like having our kids taken out of our care, we can hide, and that makes us feel like we're the only ones who experience it. But actually it's something that happens all the time.
Yes, and when you're in that moment, you can tend to catastrophize. If I tell anyone about this, they'll take the kids away.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, you're a clinical psychologist too, Sally Shepherd. What's going on underneath when we're feeling that rage? You mentioned that it might be an emotion that's actually standing in for some other emotions.
Yeah, anger is often referred to as a secondary emotion, and that's because it can sort of serve to shield us almost from our more vulnerable primary emotions that are going on, and which are so common in new motherhood. There's so many feelings that we might be experiencing. So things like shame or guilt or overwhelm or stress or anxiety, depression, even jealousy, things like that. So anger is almost something that we can do something about, that we can, it's our fight or flight reaction is on. It's our fight reaction. We feel like we've got some sort of control over doing something, even though we might not be fully in control of our emotions or our anger in that moment. So anger can kind of come as a bit of a mask for some of those more primary, more vulnerable emotions.
And you write in the book that, of course, the best thing to do if you're feeling that uncontrollable rage is just to walk away in the short term and have a break. But what mm-hmm. might help fix it in the long term?
I think really, unfortunately, these days, babies don't tend to be born into as much of a village lifestyle as they once were. So we're often quite isolated in our parenting, feeling like we have to be an entire village for our baby. So I think one really important thing to do is to speak up and let our village know how we're feeling and how they could help, and have things like practical supports in place for people to almost be able to take over for us, or to be able to help us out with some of that stuff, or negotiating even little code words with our partners if we have one at home, or another support person, like it's your turn now, and have explained to them in advance that what this means is that I'm overwhelmed, I'm not feeling fully in control, and I need to step away, so that you don't have to explain that in the moment when your fight or flight reaction might already have been switched on and you might not be thinking super clearly, just to have a little code that you can let someone know. Or if there's no one else around and it's just you and your baby, it is much safer to be able to step away for 5 minutes and, you know, have a drink of water, have a few deep breaths, move around, shake some of those kind of stress hormones that have started accumulating in your body off. Even if your baby's, you know, as long as they're in a safe place in their cot or something like that, even if they're crying for a couple of minutes, it's safer than you trying to kind of push through those emotions and potentially becoming a bit unsafe with your baby.
And I'm speaking here with clinical psychologist and mother Sally Shepherd about how difficult it can be adjusting to being a mum for the first time. Her book's called Beyond the Bump. And if this is something you've experienced, tell us what helped you get through the first year of being a new mum or a new parent. Send us a message via our Facebook page. Or you can text in now on 0418 226 576. And Sally, when you thought about having a baby before you had one, what had you been expecting?
I think you kind of hear about a lot of things in theory. You hear about that you're going to be, you know, up a lot at night time with them, and that it's going to be different and that it's going to be hard. But I think my own expectations were quite like, oh, I can do that. That sounds all right. Like, that, I know it'll be hard, but I had a lot of kind of romantic or idealized expectations as well. Like, it's going to be, you know, I'm going to have time off work. It's going to be really peaceful and cuddly, and I'm going to fall in love, you know, from the very beginning, and that maternal instinct is going to kick in and it's all going to be fine. Because I think we don't often talk about the more challenging side of it. So I think I had some idea in theory, but until I was really in it, I didn't really understand some of the more nitty-gritties of the challenges that I faced.
Do you think we need to change the way we prepare new mums and dads when they are pregnant?
Yeah, I think it's important to keep having these conversations and keeping it real. Not that everyone will have the same challenges or even, you know, have these challenges, but if everyone talks about some of the things that were a bit more difficult for them with, you know, with their own support networks, I think that it can be really helpful in just normalizing some of those emotions and some of those adjustments for new mums, so that we don't feel so alone or like we're failing or not doing it right. Or
I was really struck by one bit that you wrote. You said that newborn stage was a time when I was never alone but always lonely. I was bored out of my mind but couldn't concentrate on anything. I was desperately, desperately tired but too wired to sleep. And you say, I guess some people aren't baby people and I'm one of those people. But sometimes I wonder if we take a certain level of utter exhaustion for granted for new mums, because I don't know how anyone could be a baby person under those circumstances. It sounds like there's a structural lack of support going on there.
It's true. And there are some real dangers associated with things like chronic sleep deprivation, that when it comes to things like, road safety and our ability to think in the moment and to problem solve and all of that sort of thing, we've just got this hugely massive responsibility on our hands, and we've never done it before, so we're learning lots, and to do that in an environment where we're sleep deprived and not thinking clearly and maybe not engaging in that much self-care, it can be dangerous. And it's not spoken about that often, or it's kind of looked at like oh, baby brain, and it's funny and it's cute until it's not, because there are some terrible stories about or people on the roads or people leaving babies in cars or being so exhausted that they'll roll on top of them in bed. And it's just, you don't sort of think it can happen to you, but it happens to people. And I think talking about it is important, yeah.
And Sally, where is that line between just being really tired as a new parent and realising that you need to seek some help for your own mental well-being?
I think that it is, it's such a hard one because everything about being a new parent is different. So sometimes feeling different goes unnoticed. We think everyone's feeling this way, so we should just suck it up and get on with it. But I think when it's starting to affect your everyday life, and that might be things like, you know, your ability to get up in the morning, the way that you're feeling, other people noticing it, affecting your relationships, affecting how safe you are, all of that sort of thing, then it's time to get help. And it's way better to get help earlier rather than later. The worst that can happen if you get... You know, if you reach out for help too early, is that you get some unwanted advice, and that's always better than the alternative, waiting till it's too late.
And if you're a family member or a friend of someone who's going through those tumultuous early parenting months and years, what are some things we can do? It sounds like checking in regularly is a good thing, but what about the ways that we talk to each other?
Mm-hmm. Checking in regularly is so important. We can sometimes think that if our friend's given birth that they want space and that they want, you know, that they're too busy for us and that type of thing. But oftentimes they don't know how to ask for help, or they're kind of in a bit of a bubble. But offering specific help, because I think sometimes saying, like, if you ever need anything, then shout out. Sometimes a new parent isn't in that sort of headspace to shout out. So specific things like, let me come over and, you know, hold the baby while you go and have a shower and have a power nap, or I'm going to bring over some freezer meals for you, or, you know, those sort of specific things are really likely to be helpful. But also just checking in on mum and making sure that you are checking in on her, because often people will come over and look at the baby and ask to hold the baby, and it'll be all about the baby. Of course we want to meet the baby because they're cute and they're tiny, but we can sometimes overlook mum in that parent-child relationship, and her whole identity is kind of shifted into mum, and sometimes we can forget about her in that transition, and it can be really hard.
And Sally, when you look back on that first year, do you feel like maybe you missed out on some of the fun bits of being a new parent?
Yeah, I do. I think not so much through anyone's what anyone did or didn't do, but more from myself. I think I was almost trying to outrun the adjustment. Like, I couldn't get used to not being autonomous or not having me time. And I thought, I sort of put conditions on my happiness. Like, I'm going to be okay, but only if and when, you know, baby sleeps a bit better. He was a terrible sleeper at first, and only when he's, you know, a bit more independent, and I'll be fine then. So I've just got to kind of get through it. But I think if I kind of had more conversations with people about the more specific challenges that they faced and kind of got to that point sooner where I thought, well, this stuff is normal and it's to be expected, then I might have just lived in the moment as sort of a bit more with a, you know, this too shall pass mentality, rather than trying to kind of just look forward to the next thing and then not being fully content until he grew up a bit.
Well, and I understand that you're expecting again. Congratulations. And I hope this time there are many, many freezer meals in the offing. Uh-huh. Lots and lots of visitors saying, can I do the dishes for you?
Thank you.
Sally, thanks so much for chatting with us on Life Matters today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. You too. Thanks for having me.
Sally Shepherd's a clinical psychologist and a mum, soon to be a mum of two. And her book is called Beyond the Bump. You're listening to Life Matters here on RN.